Mr. Brown, Rail 1. Right, Mr. Brown, could you tell us when and where you were born?
Yes, sir. I was born in Jarrow-on-Tyne, 1923.
And what was the exact date?
The exact date was the 9th of November.
And your full name?
Leslie Brown.
And what did your father do?
My father was a seagoing engineer. And when he wasn't at sea, he worked in the shipyards along the Tyne. But most of the time he was at sea.
And what kind of place was Jarrow?
Well, it was a very industrial sort of town, and largely depending on Palmer's Shipyard. And when Palmer's Shipyard closed, I think it must have been about 1933 or thereabouts. But it may have been earlier, because the town really died, more or less, and you had this business of the Jarrow Marchers, with Ellen Wilkinson leading the group down to London to protest about the lack of work in the town and round about. So it was really heavy industry.
Do you remember the Jarrow March?
I just remember them setting off vaguely, quite a crowd, and the mayor was there, and that sort of thing. But I don't remember a lot about it, no.
Was your dad involved in that?
No, he didn't go there.
Now, you mentioned the close of the shipyard. Was your father's work affected by the Depression, or did he carry on?
He was mostly at sea, so that wasn't so bad. But the work periods when he was out of work, and when he wasn't at sea, it wasn't easy to get work in the shipyards.
Can you remember what ship and line he worked for?
No, I only remember the name of the one boat he was on, which was called the Luminetta. So it would be the Lumen line. I think there was Luminous and probably Luminetta. But I remember once when he was in port, he took me down with my mother, and we had a look around the ship and see what it was like.
Now, was your father involved in the First World War at all? Did he remember any memories of
that? No, he wasn't involved in the First World War.
So he was working in the shipyards during that period?
Mm.
Did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, one brother and two half-brothers. No sisters.
And were they older than you? Or?
All older. Yes, I was the youngest one of the family.
And what were their names?
It was George and Jack and Bill, going up the ladder to the oldest one.
Now, what kind of school did you go to?
The ordinary elementary school, and then I went on to Jarrow Grammar School, where Steve Cram, actually, the runner, he went to Jarrow Grammar School as well.
Now, in terms of the selection process for the grammar school, do you remember much about that and how it worked?
Well, we sat the 11 plus. I remember sitting 11 plus, which was sort of just maths and English. And then you went for an interview. I remember a group about four of us standing around a table being asked questions and asked to read a portion of a book. And then asked questions on what we'd read. And after that, you were either in or you were out.
And about how many of your classmates do you think passed for the grammar school?
Quite a few. I should imagine about 10, but I couldn't be accurate about that.
And that would be 10 out of how many?
Probably 30.
And what were your best subjects at school?
Maths, I think, was my best subject. And sport.
And what sports?
Cricket. Football. I played cricket and football for the school, all the way up the school, and athletics, jumping, the high jump, long jump, throwing the cricket ball, things like this.
Now, you mentioned that the town died with the closure of the shipyard. In terms of your fellow pupils, other veterans have talked about how they passed for the grammar school, and the parents couldn't afford to put them through it.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any? Do you have any memories of things like that happening to other people, friends of yours, or?
No, I can't say I did. No, I can't say I did have any contact with anything like that.
So, as far as you were concerned, it was quite a prosperous period as a child.
I wouldn't say it was prosperous. I mean, I'm no doubt that my mother and father had a struggle to buy things that were needed for the school. Little things, protractors and rulers and pencils and so on.
Now, had you given any thought to your career at this stage? You were, 11, 12 years old, you were at the grammar school. Had you thought about what you were going to do?
I hadn't thought at all, no.
And what about your friends at this stage? What were they? I mean, you're coming up at the stage where people are leaving school at 14 at this time.
Mm.
What were people thinking about what they wanted to do?
Well, I'm afraid most of them went into shipyards and factories and industry roundabout. There's a big firm at Hebburn called Rayrolls. A lot of people worked Rayrolls and shipyards down in Tynedoc, South Shields, Hebburn, and so on, and even across into Northumberland, Wall's End, places like that, North Shields.
So that industry dominated the area?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, did you leave school at 14 or did you stay?
16.
So you stopped on for the extra
yes.
2 years?
Mm.
And what were you studying at this stage? What were you specialising in? Or what were your favourite subjects?
Well, we did the usual range of subjects: English, history, geography, maths, that sort of thing.
What was the discipline like at the school?
Quite strict. It was very good. You didn't step out of line very much.
And in terms of, did that, in a way, anticipating things, did that prepare for the army, do you think?
Well, I never thought about that. I would like to say if it prepared me for the army. I don't know that what would prepare you for the army, actually.
So the army was different again?
Yes.
Now, you stopped until 16.
Mm.
What about your friends? Did they do that?
Most of them did.
Most of them did?
Mm-hmm.
And you were stopping until you were 16. What were your own thoughts about the shipbuilding industry? Do you think you were going to get involved in that, or did you have other things in mind?
Well, I didn't have anything else in mind. All I was sure of, that I wasn't going into the shipping industry, I wasn't going into the shipyards.
And why was
I
that?
I just didn't want to go in. Well, I'd seen other people go into the shipyards, and they seemed to be stuck there, and there was no progress to be made somehow. And I fancied at least something where there was a ladder of some sort where you could improve your position.
So it was regarded as a little bit of a rut that you would get into and you'd stay.
Mm. Mm.
But at this stage you still hadn't thought of what that something else might be?
No, I hadn't.
So you stopped until 16. What was the qualification that you got at that stage? I mean, obviously it wasn't...
It's a school certificate.
School certificate.
Yeah, got the school certificate.
Could you just describe what that is? Because obviously things have moved on and now there's GCSEs and all levels and whatnot, and what the actual school certificate was.
Well, it was just an exam by the boards, the Oxford or Cambridge boards, that set the questions and marked the answers. I don't think there's anything different about it. It was just an examination.
And was it something that most children that stopped on 16 would achieve, or was it difficult? Would some people stop on and not achieve?
No, everybody that I knew of that went on to 16 took the school certificate.
Now, you were... At the age of 16, what year would that be? That would be 1938, coming into 39, that kind of period.
Yes, I'd be 16 in 1939, wouldn't I?
Mm. Now, as you were going through the latter part of your school years, were you aware of things like the situation in Europe, the Spanish Civil War, Mussolini, Hitler? Were those kind of things that you're aware of as a young
You're man? Aware of, but I can't say that they impinged on life. The Spanish Civil War certainly didn't. But of course, the 1939 business did impinge.
Can you remember anything about what your mother and father thought about how things were going? I'm thinking particularly of like the Munich Agreement in 1938 with Chamberlain, where he went to Munich and made his peace pact with Hitler. Do you remember anything about listening to that, possibly on the radio, or your mother's reaction, your father's reaction?
I think just from memory, which is very vague, that they were both expecting war.
And in terms of the Spanish Civil War, there was nobody from the area that you remember, you know, getting involved in things like the International Brigade or anything
no,
like that?
No, there wasn't. Mm.
Was that something that was politics something that you would talk about within at school, or was it something that you were just weren't interested in? Generally, the people.
Generally, the people, you know, weren't, you know, really, truly interested in politics. One or two were, obviously, but in the main.
And what about things like the local Labour Party? Were there any of your friends maybe involved joining that? Or?
No, they weren't joining.
Yeah. Now, you were still a very young man when war was declared. What do you remember about the day that war was declared?
Well, I just remembered the sort of excitement and people, you know, running around saying, oh, war's declared, war's declared. And the first example I had of it was very early. Saw planes in the sky and actually saw bombs coming out. And they did bomb Jarrow very early in the war. I can't say how soon after war was declared, but it seemed very soon afterwards. And Jarrow was bombed.
And you were actually out in the street and saw this?
Yes.
So this was in daylight?
That's right.
What did you think as you saw this happening?
I thought, amazing. It can't be happening. You know, I thought, well, this sort of thing just doesn't happen in Jarrow.
What about things like air raid precautions and has they affected, you know, your particular family? Can you remember anything about blackout? And
well, by that time, my mother had died. She died shortly after the war started. And when I was at home, I was in what might be called the ARP. You know, we used to go on watch outside in specially brick-built bunkers. Well, they weren't really bunkers, they were above ground. But I remember being in one of those. But my father would never bother. He just didn't seem to care. He just stopped in the house and he said he wasn't going out. So I used to go out and he stayed in.
So would he, if there's an overnight raid, he would sleep in his own bed? He wouldn't.
Oh, yes.
What would you do? Would you go to the shelter?
Well, if there were raids, I was supposed to be on duty and manning the ARP post to put out fires or help in any way.
Now, you're a very young man at this stage. How did you get involved in the ARP? Did you volunteer?
Well, it was just people in the same road were doing it, and they sort of involved me. I can't remember them knocking at the door and say, are you going to join? But it just seemed to be that most of the people round about were doing this sort of thing.
Now, had you given any thoughts to how you might be involved in the war, how it might affect you at this stage? I mean, the war had been declared. What were your thoughts? and the thoughts of your friends possibly at this stage about what you're going to do?
Well, we all thought that in due course, if it went on, of course we'd be called up, because we were beginning to be called up at 18. So obviously we were thinking about it and talking about it and talking to each other about what we'd like to do if we were called up.
And what was that, did you think?
Well, most of the people seemed to be wanting to go into the Air Force, and I did too. But when I had my medical, I've got one bad eye for short sight, and they said the eyesight wasn't good enough for the Air Force, so I ended up in the Army.
Mm. Now, we'll get to that, but at this stage, you're only 15, 16, you left school. What was your first job? What did you do? What did you go and do?
Well, for a fortnight, I worked at a firm in Hebburn, which is in the next town up the river, up the Tyne from Jarrow, at a cable maker's called Pyrotenax. And I went into their sales office, working out how many yards of cable would cost so-and-so for estimates. But I only stayed there a fortnight because I'd had an interview for a job in Felling Library, which was part of the Durham County Library setup, and I really preferred that. So when I was accepted for the job, I left the Pyrotenax after 2 weeks and joined the Durham County Library service in Felling Library.
And can you remember what your first wage was?
First wage? I think it was... I know at Pyrotenax it was 12 and 6 a week. At the library it was £55 per annum.
So that was about a pound a week,
a
little bit more.
But it was a little bit more, so I thought it was a big increase.
Now, you were in your first job, you had your pound a week. What did you do with it? How did it break down in terms of how much did you have to give to the family, and you know, what was your entertainment? That's what I'm trying to ask.
Well, the entertainment really was the cinema, and also I was running a football team for the Jarrow Boys Club, and the people in the Boys Club used to get together and play billiards in the main, very little snooker, play billiards, and it was cinema, billiards, boys club, football, and so on.
What about the pub? Had you...
No, never thought about going into the pub. In fact, I think if we had gone in at that stage, we might not have been served. We might have been. I didn't try. Never thought about it.
Now, the war was declared. You were a regular cinema girl. Obviously, you were very innocent at this stage. You know, before you joined the army and so on. Can you remember much about the way the war was being covered in things like newsreels and the films of the period? Does any moments stick in your mind where you were maybe at the cinema and saw a particular newsreel or a particular movie and that struck a chord from this period, from before you joined the army?
No, I can't remember anything that struck a real chord, not, with effect or any effect from the war.
And so what kind of films would you and your friends
we'd see all films. It was just a regular Saturday night after the football game. We all trooped to the cinema. It was just a regular. So it, what you might call an eclectic cross-section of films.
But other people have talked about how they weren't that keen on British films and they tended to watch American films. British American stars versus British stars, they tended to be more keen on.
I can't remember that feeling exactly. No. I think the American stars always seem more exotic. And there was that point to it. And the English one seemed more mundane, but I can't say we wouldn't go to a film just because it was an English production.
What about the newsreels? Do you remember anything? I mean, a lot of people...
Oh, it was Pathé Gazette, wasn't it? And
would you actually pay attention to these things when they were on?
Oh, yes. Didn't start chatting amongst ourselves while it was on, anything like that.
Now, so you were... You're in the ARP. What about your father? Was he still, was he still going to sea and so on at this stage?
No, he'd stopped going to sea then. And of course, with the start of the war, it was easier to get work. And he was working in the shipyard at that time.
And did he have any involvement with things like the Home Guard or the ARP?
No, he didn't.
And what about your elder brothers? What were they?
The Jack was already in the army. He was in the artillery. Bill was a policeman at Hove near Brighton. And George joined the Terriers. And he was in the army pretty soon after the war started.
Now, your brother Jack, was he called up, or did he volunteer, or was he a regular, or what was he?
He volunteered. He was a regular. He volunteered for the army because he was in the building trade, and with the recession, he couldn't get work very easily, so he joined the army.
And can you remember what his opinion of the army was? Before. The war proper started. I mean, did any kind of, any of his opinions come down to you where he would say, like, don't
well,
do
he,
this? Or?
The thing was, he was away most of the time in the army in London, and we didn't see that much of each other. Of course, when the war started, he was straight away into action, more or less. But all I can remember is that he said, if you get into the army, you know, you've got to take care of yourself and that sort of thing.
Now, can you remember much about the formation of the Home Guard in Jarrow? Did you have anything to do with
it? No, I can't.
And what about the impact of, you know, the Dunkirk and the withdrawal from France? Did that affect people's morale? What did people feel before that happened and afterwards? I mean, were you more or less optimistic in like early 1940? Or
I think people accepted it and hoped that things would improve from then on in. But from what I can remember, you know, there was not too much optimism about. People, I think, were beginning to wonder, you know, just how bad it was going to be and how long it was going to last after this setback.
Mm-hmm. And what about, I mean, you've mentioned being an eyewitness to an air raid. Do you have any other memories of this period as we moved into the Battle of Britain and how that affected... Any other incidents when you were doing your ARP duties and so on? Does anything stick in your mind?
No, nothing sticks, no.
So that was like the big highlight?
Initial start of the war, yes.
Mm-hmm. What about the impact of rationing? I mean, you were a young fella, you were, you know, in your first job and so on. What were the things that you wanted to get that you couldn't get, and the things that you maybe was too much of, you know? What do you remember about that? As rationing came in, how did that affect?
It didn't seem to affect us very much from my memory. I can't remember ever going hungry or feeling hungry or dying for something. So that I cannot say it had a huge impact.
And what about the black market? Was there any memories of that?
Didn't have anything to do with it.
Now, you mentioned that you and your friends thought that, you know, you'd be in military service and so on. Can you remember the time when you actually had to register and have the medical and all the rest of it? About what time was that, do you think?
How do you mean?
How old were you when that happened? What year would that have been?
That would have been 1942. And all I remember is you get a letter asking you to report for a medical, which you did. And
And where was that at?
I think it was at Newcastle. I had to go to Newcastle for it. And then, of course, later on, you got the letter saying report to a certain spot.
Now, was there any kind of interview process where the authorities would maybe talk to you about you mentioned earlier that your preference for the Air Force and your eyesight problem. Was there any period when you would actually talk to an official on like a one-to-one basis and just tell them that, yes, I wanted to be in this particular branch of the service? Or did that happen, or was it something different than that?
Well, you had, from memory, you had a sort of test for maths and so on, you know, sort of general knowledge or maths and English test. And it was at that stage, I think, you were able to talk to somebody. I can't remember an actual one-to-one conversation, but that was the time when you could say things if you wanted to say things.
Now, in terms of the medical and the registration for call up and so on, other veterans have talked about how that there'd be possibly a choice between maybe volunteering and trying to get where you wanted to get, and just letting fate take its, you know, take its chance.
Sure.
What did you feel about that? And what did your friends feel? Was there anybody that would say, yes, I'll volunteer for this, or I'll just, how did it work with?
No, I didn't know of anyone who, you know, tried to do that, and I certainly didn't.
So you just waited for the envelope to turn up,
That's right.
and it could have been the Navy, or it could have been.
It could have been.
Yeah. Now, before we talk about your introduction to the Army, is there anything else between 1940 and 1939, rather, and the day that you were called up? Any other memories, any other incidents that are relevant to what we've been talking about?
Not with regard to the war, no.
And so you were still working at the library until the day that you were called up.
That's right.
What about the people that you went to school with and, you know, left school at 16? Had you kept track of what had happened to them, some of your friends, or where they'd ended up? And
No, I can't remember a lot of where they went. I know one friend of mine, he went into the Air Force, but he didn't go flying. He became a linesman, a sort of laying lines across the various airfields and so on. But he wasn't involved with the actual flights or bombings or anything like that.